Unorthodox Radio Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Okay, we'll be there. No question. This is WBAI in New York, and we're here now. It's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Time for Off the Hook. Really?
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my sweat, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best to say the words. I hope that's understood. Oh, Billy Bones!
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday night for the first time. How long, Isaac, has it been?
3 weeks now.
3 weeks, boy. It's just unbelievable. And you know, when I was driving in, the station went off the air. You know, just all of a sudden, bang.
Just dropped off the air.
Transmitter just went off the air. This happens occasionally in the summertime with the heat stroke and things like that. But, you know, I figure, yeah, this is the way it's going to work out. I'm going to be preempted again. So it'll be a solid
by
month.
Nature.
Yeah, solid month without updating people on what's going on. Well, you know, I figured since we were gone for so long that by now, certainly, by the time we got back, it's now what, June, what's today's date?
12th.
June 12th. We'll last on May 22nd, I think.
Yep.
By now, of course, there's got to be a verdict in our case, both cases, both the Ford case and the DECSS case. But you know what? There isn't. There's nothing.
Nothing's happened in 3 weeks.
Nothing at all. I mean, so I imagine stuff is happening. I imagine the judge is pondering and whatever he does back there. We don't know what's going on yet. We don't have, you know, we filed the answers to the magic questions that the judges in the DECSS appeal asked for. We did that on May 31st, and they're looking those over. They're up on our website as well. We talked about driving out to Detroit about a month or so ago, and being heard in the lawsuit that was filed against us by Ford because of the critical General Motors site that pointed to them and
the redirection of that name.
Redirection, and like we said then, you know, if this had been a major issue in the judge's eyes, he probably would have ruled right then on the spot. Well, it's been something like 3.5 weeks now, and still nothing. So you have to wonder what that's all about. We now have the transcript of that hearing, which is up on our website as well. A lot of information to catch up on. Unfortunately, no decisions yet.
Still come.
That's right. But we have an exciting announcement.
Not related to the decisions.
Not related to the decisions.
Okay.
A decision of ours to go ahead with the fourth Hope Conference.
All right.
Known as H2K2.
H2K2. Like
right.
The mountain.
Like the mountain. What mountain?
K2. It's the second highest mountain in the world.
Okay, yeah. I guess it could be like that, too. I was thinking more like R2-D2.
Oh, H2K. Okay, I like that,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And the call is out for people to build the official H2K2 robot.
So perhaps it should be a robot on a mountain.
Uh-huh.
As the logo and then, like, written.
Yeah.
I'll work on my entry.
Let's think about this after the show. But we've already gotten that. We announced this on May 24th, 2 days after our last show. So there have been about 3 weeks that have gone by since then where people have gotten together. Now, very interesting developments as far as this conference goes. First of all, it's set for next year. It's not even this year. So
2002, yeah.
If you're already on the phone, the airline's making reservations, no, you can wait. It's set for July 12th through 14th. 12, 13, and 14. Now, here's the thing. It's going to be in the same place, the Hotel Pennsylvania. I know what everyone's saying. I know what they're thinking. You know, massive crowds, people pushing and shoving, and there's not enough room for everything because there's too much to see.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah. Well, this is different. This is very different because, guess what?
How can it be different?
I'll tell you how it can be different. I asked the same question, but we have something like, I'd say about 12,000 square feet total to work with. That's including those tiny rooms.
Right, upstairs and the one that
we tried to, you know, placate people with. Didn't work at all. But we had about 12,000 square feet. It's about what we had the time before that, too. However, the hotel has taken over a new space.
What do you mean they've taken over a new space?
They're branching
the Hotel
out.
Pennsylvania. They've been there for almost a century now.
They're nudging people out. They're nudging people away. And they took over this place called the Sports Authority, which was next door to it. Actually, I guess it used to be part of the hotel, and it became the Sports Authority. Now it's part of the hotel again. That, my friend, adds an additional 35,000 square feet to the space that we're dealing with.
Wow.
So
okay.
all of a sudden, the possibilities go through the ceiling, literally. We'll have the entire 18th floor, and we'll have, on the first floor, street level, an additional 35,000 square feet, which we'll probably use for a massive type of a network. I'm thinking something along the lines... I know people are going to wince when they hear the word trade show, but a trade show without the trade, without the big, huge corporations. Instead, it'll be hackers, individual people showing off their wares, building huge networks out of mainframes and Commodore 64s and what have you. Enough room for everything you could possibly imagine. And there's a loading zone right there on the first floor, so no more going up and down the elevators to 18 and having to worry about that or carrying heavy things.
Did they keep the glass from the original retail place? Because if, you know, people walking down the avenue just look inside and they see a bunch of hackers playing around with computers,
well,
they
will be a street,
and check it out.
There will be a street entrance, so I guess they did keep it, and there's escalators in there, too.
Very cool.
But it will be the biggest hacker conference ever, I can guarantee you that, and it'll be most interesting, too. So we're really looking forward to this. And you may say, yeah, it's a good 13 months away, but this is the time to start planning. And we're also asking people on the website, we're asking people for their input for keynote speakers. Maybe we'll even have more than one keynote speaker. So if you're interested in that, please email us at keynote@2600.com.
Can I be the keynote speaker?
Well, you can email that suggestion in, and
okay.
we'll give it all the value.
Along with my banner.
But also, if people out there want to join the mailing list of folks who are discussing the conference and starting to plan things out, very simple way to join that, simply email majordomo, M-A-J-O-R-D-O-M-O, at 2600.com in the first line of your message, not the subject, the first line of the message, to simply type subscribe, space, H2K2, and obviously don't type the word space. And you'll get a little message back telling you what to do at that point, and hopefully you can figure it all out, and then you'll be part of it. Jim, you have something to say.
If we have that big glass frontage,
mm-hmm.
why don't we run off the hook several hours as an internet radio?
We could walk around the street, interview people as they go up and down. And
well, I'm not sure about that.
Talk to the cops that come to see what we're doing.
The simple answer is I'd like to attend the conference and not just sit there at a microphone all day.
No, not all day, but I'm saying this thing is running 3 days.
Yeah, you'll get the 12 to 12 shift, Isaac.
Oh,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yes.
Yeah. We run an hour every 6 hours or an hour every 8 or 10 or 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We could do things like that.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we have all the H2K2 business out of the way. If people have questions about that, of course, they can email us at the radio station, OTH at 2600.com. Isaac, what have you been doing the last 3 weeks? Anything of interest?
The last 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Eating, yeah. Sleeping, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for 1 week, that's an acceptable answer, but for 3 weeks, you really want something a little better than that.
Honestly, not all that much. Just kind of working on some of my own projects, a couple of clients that needed a hand. It's been sort of slow. I'm trying to get a decent air conditioner in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
All the computers are really starting to heat it up, and it's getting uncomfortable. So if anyone has any suggestion for that, you know, please.
Yeah. Well, we're finishing up the summer issue over at the 2600 headquarters, and hopefully that will be out in a couple of weeks. And, of course, we're looking forward to HAL, Hackers at Large, in Holland. You going to that?
I hope to.
What about you, Jim?
Nope. No can do.
Oh.
Gotta hop on a plane, though.
Yeah, you gotta hop on a plane. That's how it works. You know, it's...
Well, I considered rowing.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you want to get some ideas for H2K2, go to HAL, because you'll see how people put up a network in the middle of a field. Actually, it's by a college campus this time, so it won't be in the middle of the wilderness like last time, but it still will be very interesting, a lot of ingenuity, a lot of new things, and really cool people. I've seen some of the speakers there. Their website is www.hal2000.org. And
2001.
I'm sorry, 2001. Well, I'm on space. Yeah, so if you're thinking of going to a conference this year, that's the one to go to, because it'll be a lot of fun. They always are fun there. In fact, I don't think we ever would have had a HOPE conference were it not for the Dutch conferences, you know?
That was your inspiration?
Yeah, it really was. 1989, Galactic Hacker Party. 1993, Hackers at the End of the Universe. And, well, 1994 was HOPE, and that was the first major, as in more than 1,000 people showing up, conference in the United States.
Yep.
And after that, just kind of took off from that point. But the Dutch, they were doing it in 1989. So, and of course, the Chaos Communications Congress, which takes place every December in Germany, they've been going on since 1984, I believe. So,
it's a lot of history there.
A lot of history.
Know how to do it.
A lot of people coming from all different countries sharing technology, and you really learn quite a bit. Well, what's been going on in the news lately?
In the news?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot
of
it. For
the past 3 weeks or most recently? Other than, of course, Timothy McVeigh biting the bullet, which,
I'm sure you're going to somehow tie that into
hacking. I have no intention of tying it in, because I've just seen it everywhere and I'm getting sick and tired.
Well, I didn't see any news stories about hackers, hijacking the TV signal and selling the video of him gasping his last breath or whatever.
Not yet, anyway.
But,
you can always send it to us.
Sorry, what?
You could always send us the video.
We'll send Jim the video, and we'll give out his address later.
Well, about hackers breaking into things,
yes.
My favorite, I think, is California power companies.
Okay, all right. Stop right there.
We'll blame it on the hackers.
Stop right there. Okay, yeah. You just touched upon something that's really annoying me to death. All right. First, we get a little story hinting that the California Power Authority was having some sort of trouble with their computers. Then the problem was because of hackers. Then it was coming from China. I mean, come on, where is it going to end, you know? And, you know, they're going to blame Timothy McVeigh again.
They're looking to dodge every single bullet they can. Sorry, folks, you're blacked out because of the hackers. I mean, it's becoming ridiculous how much we're being asked to bear so far as the bad things in moral.
And this whole Chinese thing is really real. I mean, I haven't said anything up until now about it. But come on, do you know a single person that went out and spontaneously attacked Chinese websites who isn't in the military already?
No.
We must have gotten something like 14 or 15 emails from people saying, you know, you guys are Americans first. You got to strike out against our enemy. And we traced every single one of the IPs. They all came from .mil addresses. Every single damn one of them. I don't know a single person. I don't know a single person in the hacker world that said, oh, my God, what they're saying about the spy plane is horrible. We must defend our borders and our country, and we must attack their website. The fact that the media jumped on this, the fact that the government turned a blind eye to it, and everyone's sort of saying, you know, winking and saying, yeah, you know, it's okay to vandalize sites if it's done in the name of patriotism, it's disgusting. It's disgusting that they would think that we would be that naive and that we can be manipulated that easily to just do that kind of a thing. And the thing that we heard before this was that people in China have no access to the Internet. Well, if they have no access to the Internet, how in the world are they invading the power companies and vandalizing websites all over the place? You know, supposedly there are these little hackers all over that are just spontaneously deciding to attack us because they don't like what we're saying. I mean, come on. Anybody with half a brain can see propaganda, you know, he can recognize it. So that's how I feel on that subject. And that's been bubbling under for a few weeks now.
We
so
can tell.
But,
you okay now?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
If I hear another story like this, I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Well, you never can tell.
hackers hit California power grid computers.
Yeah,
I saw that right there.
It's not our fault, folks. It's the hackers.
This was very close to being a catastrophic breach, a source familiar with the attack said.
Eject the warp car.
Yeah. Okay, what else? Did you hear about the fake film critic that Sony manufactured?
the
this
what?
This is great. Oh, this is
they manufactured a film critic?
This is a brilliant story here. Apparently, Sony was really into the idea of getting positive film reviews for their movies. So they actually conjured up a fake person and gave him a title on a real newspaper. That's right. David Manning. He was a reviewer from the Ridgefield Press, except he wasn't really. He
doesn't actually exist.
He didn't exist at all. Basically, he was quoted as saying things like, this year's hottest new star for Heath Ledger in A Knight's Tale. And he gave a big thumbs up to Rob Schneider in The Animal, another winner, he said. He's a character created to pump up Sony movies by the studio's marketing machine. Sony studio executives say they are shocked after learning that Manning is a fake.
They're shocked. Surprised. Amazed.
But they're the ones who made it up. I mean, someone in Sony made them up because they were the ones distributing the fake comments this person made. So Sony spokeswoman Susan Tick says, it was an incredibly foolish decision, and we're horrified. We are looking into it, and we'll take appropriate action. Like laughing about it over beers later.
It's pretty funny.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Now, here, Tom Nash, this guy is fit to be tied. He's the publisher for the Ridgefield Press. It's a small Connecticut weekly where the mysterious Manning was supposedly employed. He said he became aware of the controversy more than a year ago, but initially thought it was only a mix-up with a review service his paper uses.
Wait a second. He's sending checks to someone who doesn't exist, and he didn't actually check that out?
No, I don't think he's sending checks. I think he saw the reviews with the guy's name. Like, if you look at movie reviews...
Does he have a desk at the...
No, listen.
On the ad.
On advertisements, on buses, and in newspapers, you see people's names associated with the newspapers.
Okay.
Back a couple of years ago, the late Paul Wonder here at WBAI, you'd see his name.
Yeah, Paul Wonder
actually,
for WBAI.
You know what? He didn't see his name. He just saw WBAI, but it would be Paul Wonder that would be making the film reviews.
So,
in some cases, they give the name of the person. In this case, they gave the name of the person, except in this case, it wasn't the person.
And they credited him working at the Ridgefield Press.
Ridgefield Press.
This guy realized there's no one there by that name and never
fought
it. Well,
here's the thing. Nobody thought to investigate. The only guy who could investigate it, the publisher of the Ridgefield Press, just thought it was a mix-up with the name, you know, that it was actually, you know, the...
Oh, that's pretty funny.
The Ridgetown Press or something. So he never investigated any further. And everybody else out there, like us, didn't think to investigate at all. It just goes to show that there's all kinds of subterfuge going on out there. And, you know, if you just investigate something a little bit, you'll probably find the scandal. You just have to start investigating.
That's really got to be depressing for the guy who actually is the movie critic at the Ridgefield Press.
I don't know if they have a movie critic. Maybe that's why. Well, I guess that's one way you can protect yourself, is always have a movie critic. You know? It's kind of like having a lawyer. But it just goes to show you the scum that work for these mega corporations that sue us and the kinds of things that they do, the kinds of tactics they... I mean, can you imagine if we did something like that?
I know how we can turn this to our advantage.
This wouldn't be a conspiracy on the air, would it?
No.
Okay.
No. What we do is we find people who happen to share the names of, I don't know, the head of Ford, the head of GM,
mm-hmm.
Somebody named John F. Kennedy, somebody named Franklin Delano Roosevelt, somebody named Ronald Reagan,
uh-huh.
and persuade them that hackers are good people. Perform a useful service.
Mm-hmm. Or just change our name to one of those names.
Well, okay,
someone out there must be willing to do that for us.
Well,
it's not much to ask. You can change it back afterwards, can't you?
I don't know.
It's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, it's a lot of paperwork. We'll help with the paperwork. You know?
I mean, you know, John F. Kennedy, a press release.
A quote from him isn't going to do you a whole lot of good these days.
Well, okay. Ronald Reagan, a press release.
And definitely a quote from him isn't going to do you any good. No question
George
about
W.
that.
Bush?
Let's just table the idea for
now.
Before we get too far in.
All right. Let's see. We have some listener mail. We have a lot of listener mail, actually, that's been coming in. We're going to take some listener phone calls because they've been waiting patiently on the phone line for the last 3 weeks to get through.
It's a long time on hold.
It is a long time on hold. But
at least we got music, though.
Yeah. And no, we don't have music. Actually, in fact, we don't put people on hold no matter what. We don't do that. When you call in, you're live, you're unscreened. And that's the way it goes.
Or even better, we don't even answer until it just keeps ringing until we want to listen to you.
Well, it keeps ringing until we pick up the phones, which usually is about 8:25, so about 6 minutes from
we're
now.
Doing pretty well.
So we're saved, huh? Did you see that sign out there in the lobby? Thanks for saving WBAI. I can see it from here. You know, it's like staring me in the face. I didn't know we were on the way to hell. apparently somebody stepped in and saved us.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if that thanks is directed at me, which right now it is because I'm looking at it, it says thanks. Actually, it's thanks for saving WBAI Paul underneath it. So I guess that's Paul Williams because he does a lot around here.
Paul.
Yeah, I hope it's Paul Williams. And then there's a lot of other names underneath that, but I can barely see it from here. So it's an interesting thing to be looking at because usually we don't have a sign there. But anyway, that's what's new around here. It's a big banner in the lobby. Here's some listener mail. You may have heard about the recent class action lawsuits settled against Johnson & Johnson, among others, regarding the longevity of daily contact lenses. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay.
Well, I've heard that there was some question about it and that the suit was pending. I didn't know it was decided.
Well, in any event, there's a phone number at the bottom of a particular web page having to do with this. And we're going to call that number. We're going to call it right now because we're told that something interesting happens.
Something always something interesting.
You know what happens? They change the phone number in the time that I check it and the time that I call. Like, you know, within a half hour, they change the phone number. Or they change what it does.
They know you're coming.
Yeah.
They know your caller ID.
Well, they know BAI's caller ID, but that's okay. Let's see what happens. Isn't that interesting?
He just doesn't answer. That's.
You see what I see? You see what I mean? Every time we try this, something like this happens. All right. We're going to try it later. We'll keep it on. Maybe it'll pick up. Maybe.
It's kind of hypnotic.
I swear, I must be cursed or something. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this one on hold. There, it's on hold.
Well, they put us on hold enough. We ought to be able to.
Now I'm going to dial the number again. And jump over to the second line, which may be, well, answer. Sometimes what happens is, you know, if you get a ring and a company is supposed to answer, sometimes the first line is bad.
Then you jump to the second.
The second line is good.
And the hunk group. Yep.
Yeah. So now we're ringing the second line.
You have reached the In Re Contact Lens Antitrust Litigation Hotline.
I'm a genius.
The hotline,
right,
when fully operational, will provide class members with information regarding the settlement, the benefits package that will be available to eligible class members, and the procedures approved by the court to register for those benefits. We expect this hotline at the same number to be operational shortly. In the meantime, please stay on the line to leave your name and address if you would like to receive an information packet that will provide more details about the settlement, including information about how to register for the Johnson & Johnson benefits package. Please be patient as we expect that it will be several weeks before those packets are mailed. Thank you for calling. Please enter your 10-digit home telephone number beginning with area code.
Okay, this is the fun part. We're going to enter NBC's home phone number.
Thank you. Please confirm that your name is and your address is 30 Rockefeller PLZ in the city of New York, New York 10112. If this is correct, press 1. If this is incorrect, press 2.
You'd like to try somebody else?
Isn't this convenient?
Isn't this very convenient? Now, you can look up people all over the place, whether or not they have an unlisted phone number.
That's very convenient.
As long as they're in a particular marketing database, you can have their name. They didn't read back the name, if you notice. It skipped over that for some reason. But probably because there wasn't a first last name field. It was just a company field. But I've used this against, I shouldn't say against, but I've used this looking up people.
Okay, different verb there.
I wasn't trying to do anything. I just wanted to see if they were in there. And, yeah, they were in there with their address and everything. So thank you, Johnson & Johnson. It just made things a whole lot worse.
It's a reverse directory that you can access anywhere, anytime. On an 800 number, too.
And it's a reverse directory that doesn't play by the phone company rules because they have unlisted phone numbers.
I like it.
1-888-437-1294 is the telephone number.
Huh.
And I'm sure that'll be getting a lot of business in the next, here you go.
Not bad.
Call all the people that whose phone numbers you have. You want to know who they belong to. It's just another way corporate America makes life more fun. Okay, more listener mail. Let's see what we have here.
Another news item. Did you hear about Cayo versus the United States?
Tell me.
All right, Supreme Court decision. Basically, this fella was under investigation from the police, and they used the thermal imaging camera against his house to see if they could find the kinds of lamps that would grow pot.
Actually, I did hear about this. I believe the Supreme Court said that you need a warrant for that kind of thing.
You need a warrant, that it's an actual invasive search, and that the collection of radiated emissions of this kind are protected by the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, you can see what everybody is doing inside the house.
Well,
watch them move around. They're thermal images.
Not exactly. I mean, the thermal imaging camera.
Patriot Games. I know this kind of thing.
The camera they were using basically just presented a. It looks like a color map of temperature on the outside wall because it can't see inside.
Mm-hmm.
But what the court was really looking to do was prevent some of these later technologies which could peer through walls. I mean, if you want to go to X-ray, you can start talking like that for something present but entirely unwieldy. But for something simple that could look through the wall, they're looking to prevent that, give you the Fourth Amendment protection. Mm-hmm. And for some of the more interested listeners, in the ascent is Scalia, and in the dissent on this one was Stevens. So you see who's really looking out for your privacy, don't you?
I don't know if I can bet on any of those people to actually look out for anything. Okay, here's interesting news. A new line of business software introduced today by AltaVista will let workers scour corporate networks, email accounts, and personal computers by stitching together valuable and sometimes embarrassing information scattered on far-flung office systems. AltaVista hails the new product as a desirable tool for increasing productivity. A prominent computer privacy expert said it could backfire, hurting employee morale by making it easier to fish out personal emails and other sensitive data stored on hard drives. The software also could raise legal issues and create new security headaches. This could open a real Pandora's box, said Greg Williams, an attorney who specializes in employment law for Fenwick & West in Palo Alto. There are some private things on office computers that you really don't want to know about. Well, that you really don't want others to know about. Basically,
depends on the office computer.
Yeah, well, AltaVista says businesses will be able to tailor the software. Yeah, you're not going to tailor it just right.
Right.
So certain areas in the office's computing systems remain off limits. The number of employees able to search the master index also can be restricted. The software will use the same patented technology that has made AltaVista's website one of the world's most popular online search engines. The company said the search software received positive feedback in test runs by several companies, including companies that don't really matter, I guess.
Johnson & Johnson.
No, Johnson & Johnson's not there. I was looking for them. You got to wonder.
Well, it goes back to just who owns corporate information. If it's on a corporate computer, mm-hmm. is it you, the worker, who owns the information, or is it the corporation's information?
Well, they're going to say, obviously, they're going to say that, the corporation owns
kind of
all
been decided at this point.
But there's liable to be some information there that the corporation doesn't really want people to be able to see easily as well.
I
so
imagine.
It could very easily backfire on them, too.
Sure.
It's... I think it's like a variation on what Napster's all about, where you're looking for things. You're looking for files that someone might not want you to look at, but who owns the files? You know? Who's actually the guilty party here?
Hmm.
So, same basic argument, different playing field.
Hmm.
Okay, let's see here. Get off the hook. I've been reading 2600 since I was 13. I'm 21 now, and I still love it. I admire it. The past few months, I have been getting together trying to start a nonprofit zine. I know you guys are very busy, but I was looking for help. I am 100% dedicated to getting this up and running, and I'm looking to be pointed in the right direction. Mostly looking for advice. Anything would help out.
I have advice.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't bother. Just subscribe to 2600 and let every one of your friends subscribe as
now,
well,
you see,
and you'll it's a lot easier.
That is the difference between your perspective and my perspective. I would be happy if there were dozens of zines out there covering the kinds of things that we cover. You have your fingers crossed when you say you're only joking. I mean, come on.
They can't see that.
I can,
radio.
Though. I can. I'm looking straight at you, which I don't usually do. Today is an exception. Anyway, what I would suggest is basically start off small. Because unless you have major backing, it's something that you have to grow into. You can't just start big, expect to sell on newsstands, things like that. Start with something small. When 2600 started, we only printed a couple of dozen copies.
What was an 8.5 by 11?
8.5 by 11, three sheets of paper with holes punched in them, and that's how we survived for about 3 years. And it took that long to get subscriber base up so that we could actually do something a little better. But, you know, rather than pour money into something that you're not sure will work in the first place, or if you want to continue doing it for years, you know, you might lose interest. You might find something else to do. You know, anything can happen. So basically, start off with what you can manage and figure out ways to just continue to come out no matter what. You're going to put money into it. You know, you're going it's not something that's going to take care of itself for a while.
Right.
So don't expect any immediate payoff. A lot of hard hours, hard work, long hours is what I meant to say. And it is valuable. It's a valuable experience.
No question
about it. But, we definitely support the idea of lots of zines like that.
Well, I would encourage them to really think about who their intended audience is and decide if print media is the best method for that that sort of distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in the Internet age. If you set up a really, really nice website, you can reach a lot more people and perhaps then have a print, like a newsletter related to the website on top of that if you really want to get into print.
Mm-hmm.
But, get an idea of who you're trying to reach and what the best way to do that would be.
Right. Now let us know what happens, and send us a copy, too. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, Dear Off the Hook, I'm still waiting for my complete set of back issues from the January fundraiser. How long...
You haven't sent those out yet.
Take the ship? Okay, well, let me tell you. I'll be very honest here. We've been waiting for the names that we're supposed to get so that we can send them out. We still haven't gotten those names. What I'm going to do, if I don't get the names in the next couple of days, and I have been asking, a lot, we'll simply bring it all in here, and we can send it out from the radio station. But again, we're going to have to bring the van in filled with material, because we gave away every single videotape from H2K and every single back issue we ever put out, and quite
a few.
That's
really heavy.
It's really heavy, and it's going to be expensive to mail it out.
But, I think I'm not going to be in the area that day.
You're going to be in the area that day. Because
I'll be in Australia.
We'll find you, and we'll find a bunch of people, and we'll take care of that. But I'm hereby promising this will be resolved one way or the other by next week. And for those people who are still waiting for things from the fall fundraiser, that's my fault. Because we sent people things already, but we were supposed to send them the Jello Biafra CD. And I've been a little lax getting a hold of the people to send us the CDs. But we have your names. And we are sending those out as soon as we get the CDs, which hopefully will be in the next week as well.
Okay.
If you want to ask about the spring fundraiser, don't ask now. Ask in about a week or so after we get this one ironed out. But we haven't forgotten. We never forget. Okay, You're Off the Hook. I recently just got around to listening to the May 1st Off the Hook show and was dismayed to hear about Autojack's run-in with the DEA agents on his flight. Here, as compiled for constitutional rights lawyer David Cole in Insight, are reasons the DEA has actually given in court for targeting people. All right, this might make you feel a little better.
This will
if
be amusing.
Targeted. These are actual reasons that the Drug Enforcement Agency has given, and if you're traveling, you might want to consider if any of these apply to you and take the appropriate action. Arrived in the afternoon, was one of the first to deplane.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Was one of the last to deplane. Deplaned in the middle. Purchased ticket at the airport. Made reservation on short notice. Bought coach ticket. Bought first class ticket.
Wait a second. Bought coach ticket?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Bought first class ticket. Used one-way ticket. Carried no luggage. Carried small bag. Carried a medium-sized bag. Carried two bulky garment bags. Carried two heavy suitcases. Carried four pieces of luggage. Disassociated self from luggage. Traveled alone. Traveled with a companion. Suspect was Hispanic. Suspect was a black female. Seemed too nervous. Seemed too calm. Walked quickly through the airport. Walked slowly through the airport. Walked aimlessly through the airport. Good God.
So now that we've pinpointed...
Take a damn bus, for God's sake. Stay away from these people.
Now that we've pinpointed 99.999% of the flying public, who's the last 0.001?
The pilot, I think. And he's probably the one smuggling the drugs in the first place.
Yeah,
all right, let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900 is our phone number, and we'd like to hear from the people out there who we haven't heard from in such a long time. I'm sure there are things that we're forgetting to mention that have happened in the last few weeks, so please remind us, and we'll be happy to update you on what's going on.
I don't remember
on.
What I was doing yesterday, let alone what I've been doing for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's your alibi, huh?
yeah, and I'll stand by it.
Okay, let's go over here, take a phone call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good morning, Emmanuel.
Morning.
Good evening.
Evening, whatever it might be. Yes, go ahead.
It's always morning somewhere. Anyway, I wanted to say that I heard on NPR that the Richfield Press runs a father-son film interview team, and neither of them had the brightness to bring this out or look at the paper and say, geez, I don't know what this guy is talking about. It had to be brought to them before they said, well, you know, no, that guy doesn't work here. You know, so you got to wonder about the lights on people.
Yeah.
They're getting a full wattage or just they're not getting enough.
Yeah, well, you know, the wool is very easily pulled over people's eyes. There's no question about that. And just goes to show you have to keep looking out. You have to assume everything you're told is a lie, even down to a film review.
Yeah. And you know, that goes for all this BS that we keep hearing over and over again when Timothy McVeigh got executed. You know, oh, well, you know, it was too good for him. And I was like, that man's dead. Whether he got hit in the head with a hammer or he gave drugs into his system that killed him, he's still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead is dead. He doesn't get up again. Anyway,
well, that's a good point.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. You know, while that caller was talking, I noticed something about our phone lines. They seem to be totally broken. I see something moving. There's a single call that keeps moving down, but that was the only call that was lit.
Hmm.
So it's like all the lines are broken except for one. And that's can you ask? You're online right now.
I'm online.
Can you ask people to call in and see if they're getting a busy signal? Because I assume I don't think our listeners have completely been so disenfranchised that they never came back to hear our show. We usually have a full switchboard.
You know, we have cell phones.
Yeah, I know, but I'm on the radio right now. I'm not going to take a break to make a cell phone call. So if you can just ask people, you're on the IRC channel, right? So you can just ask. By the way, if you want to join the IRC channel and you're out there and listening to the radio isn't enough, all you have to do is jump on IRC and use the server irc.2600.net. And the channel is, what is the channel that you're in, Isaac?
Pound Off the Hook, one word.
One word, Pound Off the Hook. And that's where people gather to say all kinds of things that we don't see because we're busy doing the show. Okay, I see a couple of lights.
Oh.
I see more lights now.
There you go.
Okay.
Give it a try.
You mean nobody was calling?
I have no idea.
No, you see, look at these lights. They're weird. They're moving. They're moving across. They started over there.
Well, it's like whack-a-mole. You got to hit the button before it goes away.
Something really bizarre is going on with these phones. Okay, I don't know where to go now right now.
Well, pick one.
Phones are ringing. I've never seen ring before. I'm going to go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Elaine Kimmel in New York. I got through just responding to your call.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Did you get a busy signal at all?
No, I did not.
You didn't? Okay. So you just called to let us know that you can get through?
Exactly.
Oh,
come on. You got something else to talk about.
Anything else you want to say?
No, you guys are great. And I went to the last two Hope shows.
Uh-huh.
And I plan to come to the next one.
Okay. We look forward to seeing you there.
Beautiful.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm going to pick up the first line here, which is not lit up yet. See if we get a dial tone. No, you see, we're not getting a dial tone.
That's nothing at all.
Yeah, so that means that something's wrong with those lines.
Some kind of weirdness.
All right, I'm going to try and grab one of these. But they're hopping. You see, they're hopping all over the place. So it's like I have to hit it at the right moment.
It's like whack-a-mole. Just, like, hit the light that's up.
It's a phone system. It shouldn't be like a video
Okay,
game.
Well, what do you want?
All right, I'm going to hit this one here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
No, you see, it's still broken. I don't get it. There's something wrong with the phones.
Well, you always say the show is a car.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, you just might want to check that Johnson line. Now they're just saying leave a message and your address, and there's no information coming back. We just tried it.
Wait a minute. What do you mean there's no information coming back?
Well, actually, you have to leave your name and address.
You mean you can't enter a phone number anymore?
No. They take your 10-digit number, but you have to leave your name and address. You might want to try it again.
Well, I know some numbers, it doesn't come back with information, but try the NBC number as a test, which is 212-664-4444.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And that'll tell you if it's working or not. I can just remember that number for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
All right, let's try this one over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Let me turn the radio down.
Okay, good idea.
Well, he knew that much.
That's what somebody did around here before. They turned the radio down and took us off the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I just thought I'd bring to your attention, and I believe it was today's Times,
mm-hmm.
The European Union is doing a DVD price inquiry.
Yes.
And among other things, they think the geographical region coding system might be a smokescreen for companies to maintain artificially high prices.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm glad they're recognizing this. That's something that we've known for a while.
Right, that's the European Union.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
well, artificially high prices are a fact of life, you know. I mean, this isn't communism we're living in here.
they had that even back in the, you know, the vinyl LP era.
Sure.
They used to pay more in England than here.
Yeah, but you could play the records over there.
And you could play CDs that you bought there here, too.
Mm-hmm. What they have now, they have an artificial barrier that's been put in place that basically makes it incompatible for you to play a DVD in England or vice versa.
I know there are websites in England that advertise reprogrammed DVD players because they have more incentive for the consumers there to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because most of the films come out of the United States. Unfortunately, I guess they want to see those films. Most of them are crap, you know. But I like to see films from Europe. I like to see, you know, a lot of the alternative cinema out there. And I can't do that because it's Region 2. I'm told that I'm not allowed to see it, you know, unless I buy a Region 2 player.
Right. I believe that in some cases they allow you to reprogram an existing player.
Yes.
They limit the number of times you can do that.
Right. The ones that are on computers, you can reprogram, I think, four times, and then it gets locked in. It's a good practical joke to program it for, like, Africa or something. People are stuck with it.
Well, if you have a lot of computers, you can avoid that.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I guess that's one way to do it, but it's a really silly way to do it.
True. And the other thing I wanted to bring up on NPR today, they were talking about a worm that apparently was designed to ferret out, quote, child pornography, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then contact or send messages to the authorities.
Okay, how would they do this?
Well, it would be, you know, it would be like a computer virus.
Uh-huh.
It would look up your graphics files, and then it would very simple-mindedly decide from the title of the file whether it might be for child pornography.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really nice. So,
and then they would email something to appropriate things like the FBI or whatever.
Whose idea is this?
God knows. I don't.
Well, hopefully God will take care of it then, because it's a really bad idea.
You know, I've always...
They did mention that most of the you know, authorities that were being emailed by this particular virus disregarded it because of the careless...
It has too many false hits.
Yeah, but just like your standard filtering programs and so on.
Right.
It's a really simple mic. But if it's being done once, people will do it for the same again.
Right.
And they'll also have people write those things that are targeted to other things. Like, do you have the wrong political stuff on your computer? Or... are you supporting WBAI on your computer or against BAI?
Well, I just wonder what address this is being mailed to. Is it like THE@FBI.gov?
I don't know.
Everyone seems to think you can just mail the FBI.
It also mentioned that it would send some kind of message to everyone on your mailing list.
Well, it sounds like something that a really simple-minded person came up with that's definitely not going to work. It'll be a victim of spam and all kinds of false reports, and the address is going to get out, and it'll be a witch hunt. It's just going to be nonsense the whole way through. But thanks for the tip-off.
Hypothetically, how could you even write a program that can analyze the pictures and discern...
It doesn't analyze the pictures. It's a .vbs file. It's a visual basic.
Yeah, I know what this one does, but
it looks at the names of your GIFs, your TIFFs, your JPEGs.
We've established this.
Looks
I'm talking
for
about
young slut,
yeah,
young.
But Napster can get around it by renaming
exactly.
The song.
Right.
So I think the people that make pictures will rename the pictures, right?
Which is what I'm getting at. Is it possible to? I mean, we're talking about a serious artificial intelligence program that can analyze the photographs. We don't even have people who can tell how old someone is. In their birthday suit and
I'm more
pictures.
Concerned with the fact that some
not that
program,
I'm defending child pornographers.
Well,
but
yeah, you know, I'm more concerned with the fact that that something is coming into your computer system and analyzing files. I mean, how dare it do that? You know, no matter what kind of files you have, it's still a breach of your privacy. You know,
no doubt.
I don't care what you're storing on your computer. Nobody has the right to do that without the appropriate legal briefs being filed and things like that. So. You know, they might hold child pornography up as the way to get people to turn a blind eye towards their rights, but I don't think we should fall for that.
Well, I don't think this is being endorsed by any government agencies. This is just some guy with some sort of public interest, I suppose.
Yeah, wants to make a name for himself. Well, you know, there's something really weird about the phones. I've never seen them do this before, but they're traveling all over the place. So don't know. If you're having trouble getting through, just keep trying. You might get a ring that never goes anywhere, or you might get a busy signal, or who knows.
It's we're your own getting, adventure with Off the Hook.
We're just getting very weird types of lights here, and they're doing all kinds of strange things. It sounded different. You notice the long gap when we made the phone call to ring? There's something weird and different about the phone system. I don't know what. I can usually pick up things like this, but it takes way too long to get a ring. So something might be going someplace else. Let's try this one over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I guess it acts similar to a search engine spider where it focuses on keywords and alt tags, just as if someone would be using a search word, the meta tags, the keywords. It's probably just search engine based, but it just focuses on and has certain priorities and is being programmed to filter out what most searches would look for if they were looking for that, because they have to find it someplace. So it's simply just reacting as if it was a person using certain keywords. I was wondering if in the future you could do a show where you could talk about the latest developments where voice over IP and the new technology combining data and voice.
What do you want to know?
Just elaborating on things that I've been reading in Interactive Week and telephony, perhaps getting someone who is actually involved in the field could actually contribute and perhaps take questions, because sometimes the articles will be a page because there's now a very short attention span. So, you'll have 30 extremely interesting, innovative articles, but they just won't go into depth, and it sort of leaves you frustrated. And sometimes you wish you could get someone who really has a feeling and a love and a passion for this, and who perhaps is involved in the in innovation itself, to perhaps talk about it.
Do you want a brief rant on convergence? We'll do a brief rant on convergence. The idea.
Make it a minute or less.
Okay.
So I have other rants.
Oh, well, you want 60 seconds or less?
You're down to 50 seconds now.
The idea is that eventually you're going to have telephone and internet being combined, that you won't have the standard telephone in your house where you call someone up, that video will be streamed over the internet, that your information, you'll eventually have like the one, holy grail of convergence, which is the set-top box, which does everything. I think it's going to be a fairly long way off. And the simple answer is we've already got all these networks out there that do their specific part really well. The telephone network is designed to connect your voice to someone else's voice, and it does it really well. It's been doing it really well for 100 years now, a little more. You've got the cable television network, which brings images into your home really well at minimum cost. The internet moves text and single-frame images really well. All these guys who are trying to put motion video on the internet are squeezing something that is very high bandwidth into a single little pipe. All these guys that are trying to put voice on the internet are trying to do the same thing, but then the routing is an irritating problem. I mean, the only way that convergence is going to occur is if you have an all-purpose network. It's going to be IPv6, most likely, and large enough and fat enough to support all these things coming in at once, which means you're going to have convergence when you have glass going to every single house. You're going to need glass coming right up to your front door or the side of your house, and that's when you're probably going to see these things really start to take off. But until then, you've got all of these networks that do their own little part real well, and anything trying to cream something down another pipe just is a hack, a grievous hack that is very difficult to sell.
Okay, while you were ranting, I was doing some experimenting with
things. I know, I went on so you could try that.
Well, calls are going through, but they're doing weird things when you get through. They're hopping all over the place. I'm going to pick up the one I think is me, but I'm not entirely sure. Good evening, you're on the air. Hold on. Go ahead.
Hello?
No, that's obviously not me.
That's not you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, hi, yeah. Don't you just hate when they ask you if you're using buttons on your telephone?
Do I hate that?
I really do hate that.
I prefer the rotary dial
myself.
Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, I think I found myself. Okay, so this is me. And there's only one other call on the entire switchboard. Wait, let me hang this thing up.
Good plan.
What I'd like to ask people to do, everybody call in at once right now. I want to see what happens when everybody calls in, because I know there's people out there, and let's see if you know, if the switchboard fills up or if it breaks or what. Because, you know, when something is acting weird, you have to kind of just push it to the limit and see what that means. Okay, we have like 3 lights lit now. Now we have like 8 lights. Now we have 9 lights. Okay, now we have almost every light except 2 are ringing now. All right, now we just need 2 more people to call in and then everything. Everybody else stay on the line right now. Let's see what happens. Okay, the first line and the 6th line are not lighting up no matter what. Okay, now stay on the line. I'm going to call again, see if I get a busy signal, and that will tell me some valuable information. Yes, I'm getting a busy signal. So, okay, 2 lines are out. Now, apparently, the rest of the switchboard is working, so I guess not enough people are calling. That must be the problem. All right. Now, those of you who want to be on the air, stay on the line. Those of you who don't, just hang up now and see how many people are left. It takes about 10 seconds for it to recycle.
Come on, people. I mean, you know, we've got an open switchboard. This is a rarity.
Not even ask for money.
Yeah, really.
I guess, you know, maybe when you're not on for 3 weeks, your listeners kind of wander away
someplace. We've had people who said they're trying to call in for 2 years, and they finally get on the air.
Okay, look,
this is your time.
All these people are still here, so I don't know. Maybe someone can explain to me why this is happening. There might be something I'm missing. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, don't you just hang...
Okay, you know, if you call, like, more than, in your case, more than once... Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
You know, I'd just like to say that the problem with the station going off the air, this has happened a number of times.
I know. Well, that's not what happened now, is it? I mean, that would explain people not calling in if off the air.
Earlier you had made reference to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, I heard it last when Robert Knight was on interviewing the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because as soon as he mentioned our dear departed Al Lewis, he went off the air.
Well, now, let's not get people in a panic. Al Lewis is still with us. He just
he's definitely with us. Everybody wishes he was back, but mm-hmm. of course, the powers that be don't love him.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, this is Free Speech Radio, is it not?
Well, it's not the entity known as Free Speech Radio, but it is small letter Free Speech Radio. At least it's Free Speech Radio.
I've been a subscriber for a long time. In fact, I even subscribe now,
mm-hmm.
and despite my reservations, at the same time, I just wanted to say I, like probably most of the people, subscribed only because we felt that the station was taken over by pirates, and if we didn't subscribe, they would sink our ship. But
Excuse
me?
That's one perspective.
Yes, it is. And it's a perspective that I thought at one time you were leaning to. At any rate, that's another story. But since the powers that be wanted to raise money and did raise money in the name of Free Speech Radio...
Mm-hmm.
Is it permissible for me to give the telephone number of the opposition?
Yes, give the telephone number. Then I want to move on to some more calls, but just give that information out.
1-800-825-0055.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. And as always, the conversation continues here. You know, we had demonstrators come up here during the period Democracy Now! Was being preempted.
What were they doing, juggling?
No, they weren't juggling.
They're demonstrating something.
Demonstrating. All right, protesters. Are you happier with that?
What did they protest?
They were protesting the fact that their favorite radio show wasn't on the air. In fact, you know, I fully expect to see people come in here when we're not on the air protesting, because that's how people feel at this radio station. They love their radio show so much that they're willing to stand in front of traffic to get their shows back, and I expect nothing less from our listeners.
Well, we can't even fill the switchboard at the moment,
I wouldn't put
too much faith in that.
I don't know what's going on with that, so I'm beginning to have some doubts here. We expect our listeners to give their lives for us. If you can't even make a phone call, I don't know. Let's try over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going to switch fields a bit. A few years ago when the MetroCard came out,
mm-hmm.
You vowed to hack out all of its secrets, all its little nooks and crannies undisclosed.
Well, as soon as we got them.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask specifically about it, the 2-hour window for the free transfer, it appears to be longer than 2 hours. Did you ever fix it precisely just how long it was?
The 2-hour window?
For the free transfer.
Okay, for the free transfer. Go ahead.
And
we have a semi-expert on the field.
Okay.
The 2-hour window is a little bit over, and it depends on a number of things. First of all, although the clocks are almost perfectly synchronized, they're not totally synchronized. why, we're still not sure. And secondly, they tend to err a little bit on the side of generosity on that. The two-hour window is generally really 2 hours and 6 minutes because of generosity. And if the clocks are really bad, 2 hours and 18 minutes, but do not count on that. So you can generally be safe at about 2 hours and 3 minutes. After that, it's iffy. Okay.
But, you know, with the all-day passes, why worry about it, you know? Mm. You know, the fun pass, you get to transfer every way you want.
Well, yeah, but if you're out, it's 3 in the morning, it's last call, you finish it up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You remember how... we talked about the Microsoft thing back when, and they actually changed their privacy policy shortly after.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to get some other corporation to change their policy?
No. But there are some people on this IRC channel who have been trying that NBC number.
Uh-huh.
And it's responding, just leave your name and number and voice message. So
we either broke the system or
I guess someone's listening.
Went in and changed the policy while we were on the air. Okay, let's take one more call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. Hi. Isaac mentioned that you had a phone van and you got it at a telephone auction.
Yes, that's right.
That's very cool. I was curious if you'd be willing to give up a well-kept secret of when and where they have these things.
Okay,
Verizon
yes. They do have them. Unfortunately, I fell off the mailing list after I redecorated the van. They still have them, but I don't know when they are. If you call your local Verizon office, they might know. They tend to have them where they park all the trucks, and they have them every few months. They also have, utility vehicles, Con Ed. They have police cars, all kinds of things like that. Just ask around. Somebody knows these things. If you see a parking lot filled with phone trucks, that's likely where they're going to have the auction. I know they had them in, I believe it was Westbury was where we picked up ours. So they have auctions there every now and then on Long Island. Yeah, but they have them every place. We're out of time. So it's great to be back, and we'll be back again next week. And hopefully the phone system will be working better, or our callers will be more aggressive. And I guess until then, stay alert, you know, and keep questioning things. All right. For Isaac, for Jim, for everybody else, have yourselves a good night. And we'll be announcing the results of the lawsuit when we get it. Thank you.
Day after day. They send my friends away to mansions cold and grey, to the far side of town, where the thin men stalk the streets while the signs die underground. Day after day, they tell me I can go, they tell me I can blow, to the far side of town, where it's pointless to be high, 'cause it's such a long way down. So I tell them that I can fly, I will scream, I will break my arms, I will do the arms. Here I stand, foot in hand, talking to my wall. I'm not quite right at all, am I? Don't set me free. I'm as heavy as can be. Just my liberty of my knee. And
is Carlotta Joy Walker, part-time. Healing energy always rejuvenates trust. Trust, imagine, metamorphize, evolve. And I'm here just to thank you. Thank you for constantly rejuvenating our trust. Thank you for your new membership. Thank you for renewing your memberships. And thank you for paying your pledges, those of you who have not done that yet. And thank you for being a part of us and supporting us. That someday.